Thank you, Kathy, and thank you, choir. Both of you blessed us. And I was thinking there, you know, today's politically correct police, happy holidays. Instead of Merry Christmas, they say you don't need Christ. Do away with the old lighthouse of Jesus Christ. But those of us who realize where we would be without Jesus, where we'd be without Jesus, so we got to have him. We have got to have him. And we need to share him with everybody else. You know, this has been a special week, you know, depending on your activity. Some of you may have worked till you were worn out. Some of you may have cooked till you were worn out. Some of you hunted, watched ball games, visited family, all kind of things this week, but really, what was it? It was a week to give thanks. Did you give thanks? Pam spent Wednesday night with her mom and all day Thursday, and so Thursday morning I woke up and I laid there for a few moments, and then it hit me. Today's Thanksgiving. And I started, Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for what you've taught me about Jesus. Thank you for calling me to preach some of what you taught me. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, just so many things to give thanks. So many reasons. It's incredible. Just the fact that you're alive. That you're here this morning. Reasons to give thanks. So, if I'm going to give you an opportunity, if there's anybody here that wants to stand up right where you are and give a reason for being thankful, I'm going to let you do it. Now, if you take too long, I'll push this button and you drop into the basement. But you know, don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel ashamed. But if you have something that you just want to just stand up and say, Lord, I thank you, go ahead and do it. Okay.
I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for the clothes that were put on my back. And I'm also thankful for my family and how we aren't living on 7th Street.
Okay. Thank you.
I thank God for saving a wretch like me. And thankful for my church family. Thankful for Bobby Grove. Thank you, Preacher Ed. And thankful for my wife and my son right here.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else?
Well, I thank God for saving me first of all. I
little girl, only 3 months, and she couldn't call, so they had to work with her. But anyway, I'm thankful for Barbara's grave. I know when I got married, I was going to Lovis Baptist, and I would turn left to go to Lovis. And three Sundays went by, and I said, "Go with me today." And Jim said, "No, but if I go, I'll go to Barbara's grave." So I turned right, and I came to Barbara's grave, and Barbara's grave has been a blessing to me through my husband's death and through my marriage to my mother. So I thank God for having a wonderful mom and dad for saving my soul when I was 12 years old.
Thank you. Okay, Pamela.
I'm most of all thankful for my salvation. I was born in Kevin, I was 9. And I remember it like it was yesterday. So real. And I praise the Lord for giving me the opportunity to serve him all these years alongside of Ed. I knew when I was a young teenager that he called me into Christian ministry. I didn't know what direction it would be, but it turned out to be a pastor's wife, and I considered it an honor, and I appreciate every opportunity he's given us to serve him. I love teaching his word. I love his word. I'm thankful for my children, and I praise God for keeping them safe when they're so far away. I thank him for all my family, for the friends, for the wonderful Christian friends that we have in the churches that we've served. It's been such a blessing beyond measure. Just praise his name.
Thank you. Okay, I thought it'd be interesting just to look at a couple of the places in the Bible where we give thanks. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And Pamela and I are really thankful that we found out this week that those kids from Australia are coming to see us. And So I emailed my daughter yesterday and said, listen, we want to hang out with them. We promise not to spoil them. We promise not to buy them more than 3 suitcases full of stuff. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul was thanking the Heavenly Father for Jesus. You know, there is no gift that God ever gives greater than Jesus. I mean, everything that's involved in Jesus, so wonderful, so fabulous, with the forgiveness of sin, the eternal life, heaven, the constant presence of the Holy Spirit because of Jesus to help us live this life, the unspeakable gift. And in that same chapter, and go back a few verses to verse 8, 2 Corinthians 9, 8, is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God is able, which means God can do anything he wants to make all grace. It doesn't matter how much sin you've committed, there's more grace. If your sin level's here, there's more grace. If your sin level's here, there's more grace. There's enough grace to take care of whatever I or you have done to mess up. Enough grace. And notice also he says that you'll have all sufficiency in all things. In other words, God's going to make, and then the end of that you may abound to every good work. God calls you to do something. God's going to enable you to do it. Now, if it's a work that you instigated for yourself, it may be another matter. But if God calls you, God's going to provide. Whether it's the knowledge, the finances, the health, whatever it is, God is able to make all grace abound toward you in every way, so that you will have all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. Paul says, thank God for his unspeakable gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's another place where Paul thanks God, and that's in 2 Corinthians. Go back a few chapters to chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which, how long? Always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge in us by every place. He said, I thank God that you always win in Jesus. You always win. You always win in Jesus. Now there are times you wonder. Now, can you imagine some modern politically correct reporter interviewing Paul and hearing Paul say that and saying, man, Paul, what are you talking about? You always try. Paul, don't you remember they ran you out of several towns? Oh, I remember being run out of town, but I always left the church behind. Paul? Don't you remember that they beat you unmercifully and put you in an inner prison in Philippi? Yeah, but God sent an earthquake and the Philippian jailer got saved and I left a church in Philippi. And that church just kept blessing me over and over and sending me offerings. Paul, don't you remember that you got shipwrecked? Oh, yeah. But we waded ashore on an island, found out there's some people that were sick and needed healing, and all of them needed Jesus, and so God used me to get some of them healed and a lot of them saved. Left the church on that island. Paul, don't you remember that they stoned you dead? Oh, yeah, but God raised me up. And while I was dead, I had a tour of heaven and I saw all these wonderful things and heard all these wonderful things so fabulous that I can't even tell you about them. Paul, don't you remember they put you in jail? Oh, yeah, but I wrote a lot of letters to encourage the churches. And he didn't know it then, but those letters are still encouraging us 2,000 years later. You see, Paul had a look at life that was so opposite. Sure, he didn't go through life sitting on the Riviera drinking iced tea. Paul had problems. But Paul says, I always win. I always win through Jesus. It doesn't matter what happens, I win. And when you begin to look at life that way and begin to look for the way God is blessing in things, in the bad things, there's not a one of us that haven't had bad things happen to us. Terrible things. But yet at the same time, God is blessed. And sometimes we don't realize the blessing till we're moved down the road a little ways. I think about the fellow that I roomed with in seminary for a couple of years before I was married. And I won't tell you the whole story, I'll just give you a gist of it. His first wife was a certified fruitcake. And I could give you a lot of examples on that. But anyway, when she left him, he was devastated. Cost him his church. He tried everything possible to get her back and, you know, reunite. But it wasn't possible. And I lost touch with him for a few years. And then the next time I talked to him, and he kept calling, talking about Jackie, Jackie, Jackie. And I thought, that isn't his wife's name. But I found out he had remarried. God had blessed he and his second wife with two kids. And Jim told me, he says, I wish you'd have left sooner. You know, it was a terrible, 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 awful thing. Not what he wanted, not what he wished, not what he desired, not even what God would have wanted and desired, but God caused Jim and Jackie to triumph, even in the midst of tragedy. And Paul says, I just thank God that we always triumph in Jesus. We just always triumph in Jesus. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 16. And you can find Paul saying this in a lot of his letters, something similar to this. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul wrote to these Christians in Ephesus and said, I thank God for you. Now many of you, if you stood up a while ago, you thank God for your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it's important to remember, we need to thank God for those that love us and support us and care for us in the Lord. Now, remember something. Whether it's the church at Corinth or Ephesus or Galatia or whatever, these people weren't perfect. How many times did Paul have to write words like of words of correction, words of instruction, words of warning, words of teaching? Those people weren't perfect. And yet Paul could say, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Now sometimes Maybe I shouldn't tell this, but I will. You get a bunch of preachers together, and there's some preachers that aren't very thankful for their churches. In fact, they said, that's the sorriest bunch you've ever seen, or something to that effect. But folks, I thank God. I haven't had any perfect churches, but they haven't had any perfect preachers either. Not when I was there, anyway. But I thank God for the people and for what he's taught me and what he's learned, what I've learned, for those that have supported me. Thank God for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Paul, that's a part of Paul's triumph. Even in those churches that had disappointed him or that frustrated him, Paul still says, I thank God for you. Not a one of us are perfect, but thank God for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank God for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And are you thankful for them? Now flip on over a little bit to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2, and Paul says the same thing here that he just said there in Ephesus. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul says, I'm thanking God for you folks. And here he tells why he's thankful for these people in Thessalonica. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Paul, they were growing in faith and they were growing in love. Paul says, I thank God for you because you're growing in faith and you're growing in love. And you know, one thing that does a pastor's heart good is when over a period of time he can say, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a young person that's growing in the Lord. Their minds are being opened. And one of the scriptures that I had in my notes but that we didn't look at was Jesus in Matthew saying, thank you, Father, for revealing these things to the babes, even though the wise and the prudent don't get it. Jesus himself saying, Lord, those who think they know it all, just not going to get it. But those who come as little children saying, teach me. You'll just open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing and wisdom and understanding beyond their awareness until they get it. Thank God. Jesus thanking God for the wisdom that the Father can give us. And so as a pastor and as Paul here, when people are growing in love and growing in faith, their hearts are being changed. And you know, a few weeks ago I preached about being like Jesus. The more we grow in love, the more we grow in faith, the more we grow in knowledge, the more like Jesus we become. What does it say the last, there in the book of Luke? And Jesus increased in what? Wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. Jesus growing, and that's the way we need to grow. Think about all the reasons we have to give thanks. Scripture that I won't ask you to turn to in 1 Corinthians 15. Thank God that we have victory over death. Thank God that we have victory over death. We go to a cemetery and our hearts are breaking. But we know where our loved ones are. We know absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we know we're going to be with them shortly. Now to us, it may seem long, but a day with the Lord's 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. Hey, in about 30 minutes, in God's timing, we're all going to be in glory. You think about that. Some of us may still be here 40 years from now. In earthly time, but in God's time, in about 30 minutes, we're all going to be in glory. And we're going to have a time. We're going to have a time. So as you think about all the ways that the Bible talks about praising the Lord, just spend time thanking Him. What's the song say? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. As we have an invitation, if you need to come to the altar for some reason, we invite you to come. But I hope you'll leave here this morning praising and thanking the Lord for all of His blessings that He's given you.